Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that God has a word for you, and I am excited. I'm telling you, we have been over at the Winter Fire Pastors and Leaders Conference, and I'm a little charged up right now. Amen. Lord has been speaking a word into the atmosphere, and it has been a word that has been, rekindling some things within me and reminding me of some things that God has said and his faithfulness to perform them. Amen. So each session has brought back to my remembrance something that God has already spoken to me and given me a mandate concerning. It is the focus of that thing that causes me to stop and just say, thank you, Lord, for being so mindful of me in this day, this time. Now, before we go any further, let me go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal, who's going to give us our announcements and also lead us in our prayer this morning. Prophetess?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are very blessed that you have joined us this morning. In the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 and Saturday at 10:30, join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As you are visiting our website, we do ask that you would seek the Lord and pray about becoming not only a prayer partner, but a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like information concerning Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, would like Apostle or myself to come visit and minister at your church, or just want to put in a prayer request, as you are on our webpage, go to our contact page, scroll down halfway through the page, and you will see a link there. Click on that link and just follow the instructions. Amen. And someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We invite you to visit us on our pages. Like us there. Amen. Leave a prayer request. Praise report, excuse me. Leave praise reports. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Let us look to the Lord for prayer. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we bless you. This is the day that you have made. We thank you. We thank you for your protection all through the night. We thank you for your angels surrounding us. We thank you, God, for keeping us, God, allowing us to wake up and see another day full of mercies, grace, power, your strength. God, we just give your name glory. We give your name honor in this house. Now, Father, as we come before you, we are charged. We are excited. We see what's going on in the atmosphere, God. We are thankful right now. We are seeking to take our rightful place. We realize that you are have been working on us for quite some time, God. We want to move from the quarry to the temple. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, even now as you're preparing us for this next venture that we're getting ready to invoke upon, Father, I ask right now that you would begin to charge us and strengthen us. Give us insight, God. Give us strategies, Father, that we will begin to walk out this kingdom assignment that you have destined for us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that we're already soaring in the air, but you're taking us to greater heights and deeper depths in you. In the name of Jesus, now, God, we ask that you would begin to speak to us again this morning. We open up our hearts. We open up our minds to receive. We ask for all forgiveness, God, right now in the name of Jesus. We lay aside every weight and sin that's easily besetting us, God. We come right now seeking your face. We ask that you would wash us in your blood, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, make us whole once again in you. Now, God, as the apostle begins to speak forth, God, we ask that you would just give him the wisdom, give him the knowledge to speak forth your word. Let us not hear him, but let us hear the Christ in him, in Jesus' name. Now, God, we give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you. We bless you for what's coming. We thank you for what already is, and we thank you for what has been. Amen and amen.
Amen. We're so grateful for that prayer. Thank you for that. Listen, I want you all to understand that God has a plan for your life, and it is in his planning that he begins to work on us. The prophet has alluded to the quarry, and I got to give a shout out right now because Bishop Derek Triplett out of Daytona Beach, Florida. Amen. He preached Work On Me yesterday at the leadership conference. And I had preached the sermon, the series before, but there's some things that, as I said, he brought back to my mind. And one of the things is that God is working on us, but he used the term, and I just got it. I'm telling you now, I'm ripping it from him. Amen. He used the term quarry. And the thing about the quarry is that it is the place where you are worked on. Because at the temple, when they were putting the temple up, there were no tools there for shaping and putting the stones together. You didn't get to the quarry or get to the temple and then find out, amen, that we need to take a little off this side or polish this side up here. No, all of that was done at the quarry, amen? Mm-hmm. And it is in the quarry that the Lord begins to work on us. But he doesn't just work on us. He uses things, people, trials, and tribulations. Those things will come to work us out, amen, and to work on us, amen. And once you get to the place where you are ready to be installed in your position, then God can move you from the quarry to the temple. Some people, yes, prophet, some people have to understand that some of the stuff that's been going on in your life has been going on in your life because you refuse to be worked on. We've preached along these lines, and you constantly hear us say that there's assignment, there's a process, and you got to go through the preparation for your destiny. If you don't go through it, then you can't deal with what God called you to do. The reason why a lot of people's assignments are not completed is simply because they refuse to go through the process, but you still want the Lord to bless you. Yep. You want to take out of the Bible those things that say that you have to go through and you just want to arrive. Well, guess what? If you start from point A and you're trying to get to point D and you don't go through steps B and C, you can't get to D. Amen? Because what you do is you'll jump from A to D and things will be missing or misplaced or out of joint, if you will. So each one of these places that you go through in your development is set up by God, but it has a purpose to it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So don't skip, you know, trying to get from point A to point B because you are in a race. Listen, you have the rest of your life, huh, to live the life that God called you to do and develop the way that he's called you to develop. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if in doing so, then you learn that there are some things that God has for you, and the devil's mad that you know about it now. Amen? But not a boo-boo, if you will. I'm not changing. I'm not turning around. I'm not going back. I'm not going to allow anything to deter me. I will go forward and do the things, amen, that God called me to do. Amen. Now, let's shift back to part two of what we were dealing with, which is be anxious for nothing. Amen. And we began to deal with anxiety and being anxious and what that actually said concerning the kingdom of God and what God was speaking to us. Listen, in your life, amen, and we need to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, amen. So after we have read our text, we'll go to some supporting scriptures, if you will, that would help us to understand that God really meant for us not to be anxious. But listen, if you don't know or if you will not receive what the Lord has spoken to you, then the devil got some stuff for you to go through so you'll stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil got some stuff for you to go through.
The devil got some stuff for you to go through.
Oh, yeah. You got to understand that while you're going through with God, amen, while you're going through your processing and the Lord is taking you through your developmental stages, amen, he knows that whatever you go through is for your good. But when the enemy is doing it, everything he tries to take you through is to strip down another layer, is try to take off something more from you so that when you need to stand up and have some weight to you, you have been stripped down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the trick of the enemy for your life, because he wants to strip away and take away, and your confidence now is not in your weapon systems. You can't stand up and fight an enemy when you don't trust in the tools you've been given to fight him with. Amen? So instead of fighting him with what God gave you to fight him with, since you have not had faith in them, they have not been developed, now you can't stand on the front line and really go after the enemy, amen? You can't hold the fort, if you will, because you don't trust in the weapon systems that have been given to you to do the job. Nor can you build. Nor can you repair. Nor can you set foundation and build up upon that. Because if you don't believe in one of them, the other parts of it, which are all fitly joined together, amen, I'm talking about the body of Christ, amen, huh? It falls apart for you. See, I can't have faith in my fingers and don't trust in my knees. That ain't going to do me no good, huh? So when my mind tells me to walk over and grab something or pick something up, my body comes into alignment with that thought and with what I'm going forward to do. It is a thought. It is an execution to whatever that thought is. Amen. If I'm thinking about picking up a cup, I can look at the cup with my eyes, reach over with my arm and my hands. My arm moves my hand into position to grab the cup, but my fingers got to wrap around it. Amen. And apply the proper amount of pressure. So that when I lift my arm with my hand attached, that's got the cup, the whole thing will come together. Amen? And that's wonderful. But now I got to bring it up to my face, amen, huh, where I can actually take a drink. Amen, from it. If all of that isn't working together, we're wasting time. If my hand's sitting over here grabbing at the air and my arm won't move it into position, I'm never going to grab the cup. Even if I grab the cup, if we're not working together in synergy, amen, if there's none of that there, it'll never get to my mouth, amen, where I can actually drink from it. So you have to understand that the body of Christ is fitly joined together. And the things of God that he places in our life are all set there for purpose. And if you allow the purpose to manifest and to fulfill its duties, amen, then you'll be complete, amen, amen. Let's read this here. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, 7th verse, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds, huh? Through Christ Jesus. You see that? Now, when we begin to talk about guarding our hearts and our minds and all those things, then we know already that he's speaking concerning us. Amen? Huh? Mm-hmm. He's telling us, you know, this is going to guard your hearts and your minds. Your hearts, my emotions, my mind, my intellect. Because some of us, you know, think we need to be governed by what we feel. It don't feel, I don't feel that they should. Why are they doing this? I don't think that that's, I don't feel. You see, if your emotions are in the middle of it, then, you know, we'll make emotional commitments that we'll never walk through in reality. We were sitting, Prophetess and I were sitting talking about the fact someone made a comment about funerals with people who are not saved. And a couple of people said, you know, we don't do altar calls at funerals. And the one young man, what they were saying was that when an altar call is made at a funeral, it's emotionalism. And the chances of the people coming back are slim enough. And I wanted to say to them in so many words, so then if your whole point in ministering the gospel is just to grow your church and your ministry, why are you preaching? See, the Bible says that one plants many water, but God gives the increase. In other words, there are going to be people that you minister to, and they're going to walk away from you, but they're going to have a seed inside of themselves. Or God is going to use you to water a seed that was already planted. Or God is going to use you at the point of increase, and they're going to get saved and come into the kingdom. If you think that your only point in ministering the gospel is to grow the numbers of your church, then you have missed the whole point of the gospel. Amen, somebody. See, this may be the only opportunity that you have living the lifestyle that you live. Amen. Going the way that you've gone in order to hear a gospel that may save your soul. And I can't, because it doesn't fit marketing, huh? And my growth, huh? It don't fit what I'm trying to do in the long run, you know, because most of these people are going to come in here, you know. One of the young people said, well, you know, I just turn around and give them one of my cars because I do funeral services, and that's what I do. That's my living. So when I get them, you know, we ain't preaching no gospel to you. I ain't going to come back to church. So, you know, here's my car because I know you're going to need that soon. Wait a minute, hold on. Huh? Did you really hear that come out of your mouth? But the thing is that we were sitting with other men and women of God. And not one of them stopped and said, hold on, our purpose and our assignment is to minister a gospel. See, foolishness, craziness. If they don't hear the gospel from you, then who? Huh? When are you waiting for the perfect opportunity to minister the word? Lord, help us. See, We've been doing this as a business and not as an assignment. So if it's good for business, then we're good with it. But if it's not good for business, then we try to find a different way to do it. And the devil's a liar, huh? We've got too many crazy things going on in the church today. One minute is hyper grace, next minute prosperity theology, the next minute ain't nobody sin. You know, we celebrate everything and every diversity possible, but they're not talking about race. They're talking about lifestyle. So we have LGBTQRSTUV all up in our church, amen. And here they are, they sitting there just as proud, living the lifestyle. The Bible says very clearly that it's an abomination, amen. So we can't turn around and turn an abomination into a choice that everybody should be homophobic about. Someone made a statement earlier. I know, you know, y'all can send letters and everything else. I know when not to read and when to read. And furthermore, I'll read your comment and pray for your soul, because stupidity needs to really be prayed for. God got a lesson for you that no man can teach you, amen, when you go against his law. His law will validate itself. Amen. But I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. That's right. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Choose life. Huh? So when you're trying to validate a sin that the Bible clearly says is a sin, then you have walked away from the grace of God. So whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, you're still in the same boat. Amen. You left the creek with no paddle. Amen. You need somebody to come and get you and tow you back to safety. Thank God for salvation. Amen. Huh? Now, with all of this that I'm saying, I'm still within be anxious for nothing. Amen. With these things that are going on in life, we find that there are some things that have come along that would challenge us in our sensible minds. Amen. But God wants us to know that in his plan and in his assignment, he's already given us, amen, the outcome, amen, huh? Mm-hmm. He's already given us what we need, amen. I read for you into your hearing Psalms 55 and 22, amen. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved, mm-hmm. amen. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, amen. We even went into 1 Thessalonians, amen, because we're talking about but in everything by prayer and supplication, amen. 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, 17:18, it says, pray without ceasing, amen. Huh? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, amen. Now, all this stuff that I'm saying means nothing to you if you will not stop and really get to the assignment that God has given you. I'm going to keep saying this, amen, because we think for this generation, all these people, all these churches that are growing and by leaps and bounds, we saw a spectacle the other day, and it was interesting because during that time, ministries that come in and you got your armor bearers and all your people come in and take over the visiting church as if it is there and set your lights and set your systems and set everything else. And teacher was up teaching and they came in and filled in and started testing the mics while she's teaching. And I'm looking at them like, is there no protocol in the house of God? Or is it so important for you to get in here and disrupt what's going on? Because, you know, is it that important because you're that important? Mm-hmm. See, I remember when I was coming up, we didn't just run in and jump on stuff. Mm-mm. You waited for them to finish what they were doing.
You got your head cut off.
Huh? But there's no standard no more. There's no protocol anymore. There's, well, I got to get in here because Bishop going to come in. When he come in, and things got to be right. And if we get in, then he's going to say something. Listen, then you get there before everybody else show up and make sure the system is right. But don't you dare come in while we're dealing with holy matters and try to preempt what's going on based on what you perceive to be an importance and a priority. You know, that's crazy. Huh? Thank you. Thank you, dear. Thank you. I'm you preaching with me today. We know when you're still not ready for temple, you're still at the quarry because your actions, your behaviors, rest of that says quarry. Amen. When we see you and you acting crazy, me and my wife going to be looking at each other and say, quarry. Yeah. Amen. And those of you in the congregation, when you hear us say quarry, it means you ain't ready to be in the temple yet. It means that there's some stuff that is inside of you that God's still trying to work off of you. That chiseling, that hammering, yeah, and everything else is still going on inside of you. Amen. And God is working on you. And I like this. I like it a lot. Amen. I'm trying to get away from that sermon, but it's still in my spirit. He said something that I just want to deposit into y'all. He said, listen, the problem with this analogy here is that the stone is an inanimate object. It don't feel a thing while it's being chiseled on. Yeah. But you and I feel every strike, every blow. True. Some of the stuff that you feel you need to hold on to and ain't a problem that God is cutting and chipping off of you needs to go. And stop trying to hold on to stuff that he's trying to get rid of. Because as long as you trying to hold on to that, you're not ready for the temple. Mm-hmm. The placement that God has for you. In the temple, everything was a testimony of the planning and the wisdom of God. So here you are, you nervous about what God called you to do, thinking about what's coming around the corner, frustrated, worried about it. Hmm? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Yeah. I'm not anxious because I understand that I'm a brick or a block that's under construction in certain aspects of my life. And when he feels that I'm ready, then he will place me where I need to be. See, I can't get to where I'm supposed to be placed and then get worked on. Huh? We have a saying as musicians, woodshed. What the woodshed is that you go into a place where nobody, you're not trying to gig with nobody. You're not trying to be out here with nobody. You ain't trying to show everybody what you learned and how you got it. You in there studying, you're in there practicing, you're in there getting it together, knowing that the day and the time is coming when you're going to have to come out and people need to know that you put some time and effort into your development.
Amen.
Amen. Woodshed deals with the fact that while you back there in the woodshed, you working on something that ain't ready for the eyes to see. Hmm? That means that while you're getting yourself together to present yourself as a man and woman of God who rightly divide the word of truth, you back there learning what the word of truth is. But you're also working on your character issues, amen? You don't have to worry about being anxious about the call of God when you have put in the time and the energy and gone through the development. Amen. You see that? Why are you anxious about getting up and preaching the gospel if you've already prepared the text? If the Holy Spirit has already spoken to you and told you what you need to speak, amen, you're not anxious about this. You're just going to get up and do what you do. As a musician, people tell me songs and stuff that they want me to play. And if they tell me ahead of time, I'll go ahead and listen to it and, you know, try to remember what the changes are, key signatures, tempo, things like that, meters, all that, I'll remember that and look at it and go over it so that when they say we're singing XYZ, I can just get up and play XYZ, amen? It ain't no biggie, amen? You know why? I put the time and the energy into making sure I knew the song. So when they went to the next part, I knew what the next part was. When they went, they're going into a round here. I know how to play the round. Well, where y'all going to start? Where y'all going to end on this round? It is what it is. You know what it is because you study. Amen. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. You see that? That means that while I'm sitting here, I need to be making sure that I'm putting time and effort into learning this word. I can't be out here preaching a scripture because I won't read the rest of the Bible. Trying to make a point that I can't make because I didn't read the whole text. We got too many people out here with part of a scripture, huh? Part of a truth, part of a understanding, trying to make doctrine and clarify a doctrine on it. Amen. And they don't have doctrine, what they have is dogma. Amen. You have to understand the difference between doctrine and dogma is that dogma is a strongly held belief without any valid proof. So you just believe this because it feels good, emotional. But you know what you're really saying? Quarry. Huh? I'm still at the quarry. Please, I'm being worked on. Because when you get to the place where you can rightly divide, you have already put the time, the energy in to make sure that you got it and you got it good. Amen? Paul is in defense of the gospel, but we're not able to defend the gospel. That means that anybody with a valid argument in their hearing can come and sway your thinking because you don't know what the word of God really says. Huh? That's why people like the Jehovah Witnesses like to knock on doors, because a lot of people know some Bible but don't know the Bible. Amen? And because they know some Bible and don't know the Bible, they can't really stand up and give them the truth. Amen? So they can say anything to them. And, well, that sound about right. Well, don't that say that in your Bible? Yeah, it did say it right there. But see, what they're doing is taking those scriptures out of context. And when they take them out of context, and you don't know what context they took it out of, huh? You just allow them to do what the serpent did in the garden. Hath not God said? He came back with the right, wait a minute, hold on. He said blah, 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 blah. And then he turns around and said, well, he didn't really mean that. What he meant was. And that's what happens to you when you don't know the word of God. So when you're challenged, you become anxious. Huh? Anxious or anxiety comes from a fear of unknown. I don't have to ever worry about unknown if I'm focused on my kingdom assignment, because God already knows. Now, the second component of this is the faith aspect. Look at your neighbor and just say, you got to have some faith in this thing.
Come on.
Come on. Say it again. You got to have some faith in this thing.
You got to have some faith in this thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to have faith. You got to have faith. Because when your faith goes as far as where you can perceive or where you can calculate with your limited mind the resources to do whatever is being presented before you, you're going to mess up some stuff as it relates to your kingdom business. Notice this. Have faith in God. You see that? On the dollar bill it says, in God we trust. Mm-hmm. Why am I using trust and faith interactively? You know, why am I, you know, using it as a synonym, if you will? I'm doing that because you have to understand that faith is trust. It's, the Bible lets us know that word faith in the Greek is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And that word pistis deals with the trustworthiness of the one that I'm believing in. In other words, if God is faithful, I have a trust in his worthiness to do what he said he's going to do. I don't have to worry about it as if it may or may not happen. I know my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. This is not something that I'm going to be worried about or concerned with. Amen. Because I know that if God said it, within the words he spoke is already the resources, the provision, the favor. Huh? He's not setting me up for a failure. He already set me up for success. So when he gave me the call, it was already assured a winner. Amen? So my anxiety then is not in whether or not I can do it. Amen? My anxiety a lot of times come with within my abilities that I perceive concerning the task at hand. And I know that if God gave me this assignment, then my abilities were already taken into consideration concerning the assignment that he gave to me. In other words, stop trying to hold up to people what you have never done and what you have never been able to accomplish and how many times you failed trying to walk. I like watching babies, amen, newborn babies or babies that are about 9 months or a year or so, as they are beginning to learn how to walk, huh? Because what they will do is they will test out their legs. All that bouncing that they're doing is really testing out their legs. They're testing out the functionality of the legs. So they're standing on your lap while you're holding them in front of you, looking at you, smiling, you know, but as they're doing so, they're stepping on your legs and making movements, and you're holding them up by their arms or by their torso, amen? So the baby's looking at you but testing out the equipment. Mm-hmm. Even before the baby tries to stand up on his own, he's already tested out his ability to hold his weight sitting there on your lap, huh? When the baby begins to then stand up and hold himself but don't walk or do nothing, they're testing their ability not only to have you hold them, but to be able to balance and hold themselves. Mm-hmm. You see that? Huh? And then the baby gets to a point where he makes a step sideways or one way or the other while still holding on. And we look at that, like, ooh, look at it, he trying to walk. Ha, ha, ha. Huh? And then there's time when he goes ahead and he turns around or she turns around and makes a step or two towards you or towards some other person that they're trying to get to, and they'll step a time or two and they'll stop and they'll be shaking or wavering back and forth like they're about to fall. Sometimes they fall backwards. Sometimes we pick them up before they fall. But either way, they still make the step. You notice how this is a progression? Huh? Do y'all notice that? Because some of us think that when God gave us the call that we should be able to just run out and do it. Amen? Mm-hmm. You can't run out and do it. You have to go through the process of trusting or understanding what it is he's giving you. Your legs and how they work, huh? Your grip and your arms and how they help you balance, huh? How you move about. You have to begin to learn how you move so that when the time comes for you to take a step, you'll have the confidence to take a step. But don't worry about it. If you took the step and you still fail, get back up, amen? Huh? And when it's time to take another step and learn what you did the first time that caused you to fail. But don't stop trying. Mm-hmm. None of us would be able to walk today if we would have stopped trying to walk when we failed the first time. Yet and still, the enemy would tell you that you can't do it because you failed. Look at what you did. You failed. No, 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 no. I failed trying to walk. I failed trying to take a step. But since I know what I did, when I started to fall, the Lord picked me up and he comforted me. He picked me up and he brushed off whatever was attached to me from the fall. He made sure that I was comforted in him, and then he set me right back down, and then he stretched out his arms, and as I began to take another step, I made that step and he applauded me. I made another step and he applauded me, but each time he was moving back just a little bit further to get me to make another progression towards him. He's not staying out of my reach so I can't get to him. He's provoking me to move towards him. It's teaching me how to walk. You see that? So I'm not anxious about the fact that he called me. I'm trusting in him. I have faith in him. I believe in him. And though I may not be perfect at it, I'm still trying. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, we got to get rid of this perfection mentality where we got to have it, you know, it got to be like this or else. Wait a minute, stop. We ain't got to have it like that or else. If you don't go through all of those trials and errors, amen, you'll never get to the things that work for your life. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that I heard, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't want to misquote it. I want you to get what it is, and you can look it up for its clarity. Thomas Jefferson, in inventing the light bulb, says, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways not to succeed. You mean Thomas Edison? Yeah, Thomas Edison. Mm-hmm. I know I was going to mess somebody up, mess something up. But you understand what I'm saying. See, the perception of a failure is not so much that you didn't succeed. Huh? but the fact that I tried something that did not work for this situation. You understand? Because in your mind, it worked out perfectly in that scenario. In that environment, it worked. Amen? So when you begin to look at a failure, there's a couple of things you have to see in a failure. First of all, there was a try. You see that? Mm-hmm. Second of all, there was a path or a way that was discovered, amen, to either be not as successful, not successful, or successful to a certain extent. See, notice that the baby who is learning how to walk, can they have to learn how to coordinate their balance, their vision, the movement of their feet and their hands or their arms and their legs together. You see that? Because when you walk, your arms move to counterbalance your legs. So the baby has to learn how to do that and also keep focus on where he's going or where they're going. Amen? So all these things, even in a step or two fall, are still being worked out. You are working out or walking out, you know, this kingdom assignment. You're walking out your soul salvation, amen. You're working it out, amen. You're walking out this kingdom lifestyle. And that's why I tell people, you know what? You get saved today, learn how to be saved today. Stop trying to be saved today and in 2 months you up there ready to go tell everybody about Jesus and fight the devil and, you know, wait a minute, hold on. There's some things you're going to learn about this walk, amen. And you're going to learn timing and placement, amen. Most musicians understand what I'm saying here is that you can learn the baddest chords. You can learn the slickest riff. You can have something that is technically sound as far as your articulation of a phrasing, musical phrasing. But if you don't know where to put it, you still can't sing. You still can't play. You're still not a musician. Amen? Huh? You just learned the trick, but you don't know where to trick it at. You don't know where to play it at. Amen? And that's the whole thing is that with this maturing, this development, amen, God is developing us into what he wants us to be. This scripture here that we're looking at here, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, is important because when we begin to deal with this here and we begin to go down to some of the things that we have to understand about our assignments, you understand that communication is key to proper processing. Amen? Communication is key to proper processing. When we look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we go back to about the 17th verse, I do believe. Let me look here. Amen. I want to make sure we have this right. 19th verse. Amen. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. When we begin to look at all of this, our vision is set on the trinket or the rattler or the pacifier, whatever it is that is in front of us. The enemy uses it like a carrot to draw us away from the things of God. And because it's something that is desirable, we think that it's good to have. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's an interesting in a story of Sleeping Beauty, I do believe, that the stepmother or witch, whoever it was, used the apple.
Snow White.
Thank you. Snow White used the apple. Why? Because she loved apples. Don't think for 1 minute that the devil's going to bring you something that's going to be good for you. I'm talking to those of you trying to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. Amen. You looking for somebody who's going to be and have and do. And listen, God knows exactly what you need. There's what we want, and then there's what God knows we need. Amen. 20 years being married to prophetess, amen, and there's some things that I'm still discovering about her, amen, and I think she's still discovering about me. Now, there's some stuff that we know after 20 years, amen, mm-hmm. Huh? But even after that, there's some things that God is teaching us and showing us, and I think it's 21 years now, because we met in January of 93, amen. So it is actually 21 years, amen, that we've been knowing each other, amen. And for 21 years, we've been learning more and more about each other, amen. We don't know everything, but we ain't in the dark about some things, amen. Huh? And that is a testament to the fact that there's a progression of knowledge and understanding that you got to go through. Stop trying to get saved and understand and know everything right now. I love those who have a zeal and a hunger for God, but I have a problem with those who feel that they already know enough about God that they ain't got to study no more because they know it. Pastor quoted scripture. He's a man, woman of God, apostle, prophetess, whoever it is, come in and say, turn with me, if you will, to the book of. We're going to this chapter and verse, and some people won't even sit there and open up the Bible because they already know it. You wish you knew it. Back in Ohio, Pinewood Tabernacle, Pop Wade knew that Bible. Bishop Garrett would be quoting the scripture, and Pop Wade, God bless him, would sit there and be clarifying every word. So when he said Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to who are called according to His purpose. And he said, no, it says to those who are the called. and Bishop would say, Pop Wade, you are right. See, y'all need to know the word just like he know it. Amen. It wasn't a challenge to the fact that, wait a minute, hold on, I'm Bishop. No, it was the fact that when you are one who studies the word and you find people who love and study the word too, you look for those words. What does the have to do with everything that's going on? Listen, the means that there is a specific group of people who are called. So, though, you know, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. That's good. Who are the called. That means that when you say, I love the Lord, but your lifestyle isn't part of the call, then that means that this ain't working out for your good, and stop throwing the scripture on it. Amen. Because it does not apply to you. Lord, help us. Everything that God has for us, God has already designed for us. Your anxiety comes from unknown. Well, let's give you some sureties. First of all, God already is going to work for you. Matthew 6, amen. And y'all heard me say this before, amen. 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? 32nd verse, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. They're seeking what's going to make them happy and what works for them, amen. They could care less about what God is saying. They could care less about kingdom assignment. They could care less about pleasing Him. But you, my brother or sister, as you are walking out your kingdom assignment, as you are a kingdom citizen, as you are fulfilling your purpose within the body of Christ, you need to be concerned about these things, amen? And don't be worried about the rest of that, huh? So don't be worried about what I'm going to wear and where my clothes coming from and who going to see me and if I got a designer name on it or if somebody sees a certain emblem or logo on my stuff. People walking around with all these Louis Vuitton, this, that, and other. And you can like Louis Vuitton and Chanel and all the rest of that. God bless you. You know, I like finer things too. But when it comes down to the point where I can't have nothing around me unless they have J. Cole or stuff like that on it, listen. We get caught up in that stuff. Well, I just like what I like. Uh-huh. Do you like the word like this? Do you like the word enough to, like Pop Wade, know that the called is in there? Huh? Or are you still quoting past scripture? When all things work together for the good of the love of the Lord, you know, because we're called according to the purpose. Okay, stop. You know, mess that all up. Trying to throw it out there so it fit what all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. To the call those are the call according to his purpose. So as we're dealing with it, you know, I need to look at it and make sure I ain't mess it up. I can't be giving homage to Pop Wee and then turn around and mess it up myself. Amen. There we go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures. I heard it misquoted and paraphrased and so many. And it also says his purpose. Huh? Because when we begin to get down there, I love the Lord, but I'm trying to do my thing. Okay, this scripture don't apply to what you're going through. But No, you can't. Process. Anxiety comes from unknowing. You know that all things going to work for you when you answer the call. What's the call? To be a son, to be a daughter. You see that? I'm going to be a child of God. I'm going to be a kingdom citizen. Then I already know that whatever I'm going through, God is going to get the glory. So my job is, while I'm going through this, is to be one who is grateful to God for calling me into his dear kingdom. Huh? Thank God for Jesus Christ for allowing me to be a part of his body. Anxiety moves in the light of purpose. You see that? Say it with me. Anxiety moves.
Anxiety moves.
In the light of purpose.
In the light of purpose.
You're never anxious when you understand the purpose of something you're dealing with. I'm anxious when, I would start to have anxiety if I didn't know what this was or where it was going to come out or why I'm going through it. But when I understand purpose, then I understand what the process needs to be. I don't like needles, but when I go to the hospital and they tell me, you know, or to the doctor's office and he says, listen, get a sample of your blood because we need to check, you know, some things and send this off to the lab. Even though I don't like the needle, I understand that I'm going to have that needle prick. Amen? It's going to have to happen. I know that they need to get 2 vials. I know the duration of that needle being there. You see that? I know the purpose of it so that he can make sure that everything is working properly and balanced in my body. You see? So I understand, even though I don't like it, I understand the purpose of it. So my anxiety then drops down because what are you about to do? Oh, I'm going to take this needle and we're going to do some stuff. Wait a minute, what you plan on doing with that needle? You see my temperature or my level going up real quick because I see something I don't like and I don't understand the purpose of it. So I'm fighting all the way. Even though it may be for my good, I don't understand what it is or why it is, so I'm going to fight it. And some of you need to stop fighting God on your process. There's a purpose to this. We're making sure that we look like his son. Huh? 29th verse, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God chose you to look like him. Ooh, that's going to preach real good. God chose you to look like him. So in everything that you're doing, every time God looks at you and he doesn't see him, he begins to work on the image in the mirror.
Get that hammer and chisel.
Thank you, dear. Get the hammer and that chisel. Quarry. Huh? There you are. He working on me. He going to get me together. I'm going to be pretty. I'm going to look right. I'm going to be okay. In the long run, God knows exactly what he's doing and why he's doing it. Brothers and sisters, all of this that we're preaching and we're talking about just goes back into a circle. Be anxious. Don't be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. Well, Lord, I just want to know a little bit more on this. Okay, you're going to learn a little bit more about this. That's why he said here, he said, but in everything by prayer and supplication, pray about it. with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And we go to the second part of that. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Paul, when he begins to speak this, we are actually listening to him of coming into the home stretch of his dissertation to the church at Philippi. Mm-hmm. Amen. He is finishing it. He's saying, listen, this is it. Amen. We're at the very end of what we need to do. Amen. He begins to talk about some of the other things that they haven't doing. But he says, here, you know, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And to really nail that, put that last nail in there, if you will, he says these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, the way to get rid of anxiety is to stop filling your mind with the stuff that caused you to be anxious. Lord, I don't understand how some people love scary movies. Go out, look at the scary movie, and after they get scared, then they sitting there looking at everything. Can't walk around a corner that you don't see good lights on because you're afraid that what you saw on TV screen going to actually be, you don't know, so that stuff might be true. No. You see, the problem is that you put all that stuff in, and now you're looking for it to manifest. Well, what if you put in all these things, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy, you see, truth. What if you put that in? Then you'll be looking for that to manifest too. Y'all see what's going on? So let's put in the right stuff. We'll get the right stuff out. Amen? And let God protect us. He's promised to do so. Listen, as we come to the end of this broadcast, maybe you don't know the peace of God because you're still trying to figure out who you are, who he is to you. I just want to invite you to learn who Jesus is. Amen. And he loves us and we love him. And the reason why I love him is with all the world trying to find every reason to dispel the reality of Christ, the word still works. Someone said something the other day. They said the experience of the first medium or cleric or whoever it is, they had the experience that everybody throughout the centuries report on. And we don't know if they got it right. We just don't know. Okay, well, you can be skeptical as much as you want. But I tried them for myself, and I've experienced the power of God. I don't have to worry about whether or not or question whether or not it's valid if there is a power of God. We know it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Miracle signs and wonders have manifested. I know miracle signs and wonders exist, and they do occur. Amen. Because I know who he is. Mm-hmm. And maybe you want to know him too. Just pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be developed and matured. And go on to do the work that you called them to do. Now, I pray for those who are sick and shut in. I pray for those, Lord, who need a touch from you. In their lives, Lord, they've gone through so much. The enemy has plagued their mind. I speak right now, Lord, peace and understanding and encouragement, Lord. I speak for those who are in ministry, those going forward doing the work that you called them to do, Lord. I pray right now that there will be manifested within their members, within their environments and their community, the resources, the financial funding, the souls, the people who will come in, the workers, willing workers, who will come in and help, Lord, them to go forward and do the things that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, now, Father, I pray for the sick, healing, manifest. Miracle signs and wonders, Lord, will manifest now. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you, and we'll see you on Tuesday at 7. Amen.